You know, as many of you are probably aware, you know, I love to travel. I've traveled all my life. I've been so many different places. I can't even begin to count the number of places I've been. But in none of those situations or any of my travels, I've ever been to any place where I really felt like I was truly in danger. You know, I felt that, you know, I just went along with whatever was there, and I was very comfortable and very happy with my travels. But it kind of reminds me of a situation that came up a number of years ago. I was with a friend, and we were doing a cross-country road trip across the Australian outback. And we'd been on the road for about 3 days. And we were on our way to the town of Alice Springs. And we were going to camp out for a couple of days in a place called the West MacDonald National Park. Excuse me, sorry. Not used to that. So, you know, we traveled 3 days and we got there and we parked and we set up our camp and we, you know, sat around and fellowshiped and talked a little bit. The next morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, while it's still dark, I do what I always do, and that's get up before dark, grab my camera gear, and go look and see if I can find a place to take a picture of the sunrise. So I hiked up to the top of this little hill not far from our campground. And I proceeded to spend the morning taking pictures, catching the sunrise over the canyons. And now this is a really desolate place, so we're, you know, literally hundreds of kilometers away from the nearest big city. So that day comes and goes. Toward the end of the evening, me and my friend were sitting around the campfire, and this tourist, German tourist, comes up to us and says, "Hey, come see the snake." And we're like, "Yeah, leave the snake alone, mate. Don't mess with him." And he kept coming back. So finally, we got the ranger and went and got the snake. Went to get the ranger. And there was a big snake. He's probably about 8 feet long, sitting in front of the lady's toilet. And so we started throwing rocks at the snake. Not trying to hit it, but enough to try and scare it. So it kind of slithered off, and away it went. The next morning, I was talking to an Aboriginal ranger, and he says, "Oh yeah, this place is full of king brown snakes. King brown snake is about the third deadliest snake in the world." So it got me thinking, because you know, here I've been walking out in the dark, walking up to the top of this hill, with the snakes being around me, and of course I didn't know that. I wasn't thinking about that. I lived in a place that didn't have snakes, so it never occurred to me. But it got me to thinking about, you know, what was going on and how, in spite of my ignorance, God protected me. You know, I don't have any, you know, solid proof that that's what he did, but in my mind, he must have done that. So today I want to talk a little bit about God's protection, and how God does protect us, even in those situations where, you know, we don't really recognize our need for it. So first off, you know, we need to realize that God does promise his protection. He tells us that he's going to protect us and take care of us. He protected the Apostle Paul on his travels. But probably one of the best examples is Noah. So let's turn over to Genesis 6. Chapter verse 13. And starting at 13, and God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Following on verse 17, "For behold, I will bring upon a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh in which the breath of life under the heavens. Everything on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, and your sons' wives with you." Now, God gave these instructions to Noah. He gave him plenty of time to prepare. And God showed his protection for Noah by bringing him through the flood. And of course, we all know the story. But this, you know, thing we do need to realize, though, that God's protection really is based upon his will for us. We don't, you know, we don't always know what God wants for us. You know, we've all known church members who've been hurt, church members who've been even murdered. And you know, you look back and you say, you know, was this according to God's will? And the only thing I could say is yes. Of course it was according to God's will. So, you know, let's look at Romans 8:28, which, of course, we all know Romans is, this is probably one of the scriptures that gives us the most hope and gives us the most encouragement going forward. In Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Very encouraging words. But that, you know, really leads us to the final point, is that what do we have to do? So we know that God promises to protect us. We know that God's will is going to be followed, regardless of whatever the situation be. So what do we need to do in our own lives in those situations? Now, you know, you can go back and you can find all kinds of stuff on the web. You know, even in Life Open Truth, I found articles talking about how to protect yourself and how to be aware of your circumstances. But I'm not talking about the physical today. I'm talking about the spiritual. How do we protect ourselves? How do we be ready to be protected by God in a spiritual manner? And I keep going back to, I go back to Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. And as a side, this is a block of scripture that, for me, holds a special place in my heart, because the very first sermon that I ever heard in the church was on this particular set of scriptures. So beginning in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as your shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in spirit with all prayer and supplication, so that in keeping all alert with perseverance, make a supplication for all the saints. Again, I go back to this because I think that if you stay close to God, at least stay close to God in a spiritual manner, then whatever happens to us in those kind of situations that we can't foresee, those situations where we do need protection from God, you know, we can be comforted by that, and we can be comforted knowing that we have that protection promised us, that our protection is based upon God's will. But he is there for us, and he's always there to prepare us and help us in our journey into his kingdom.